Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you, James producing for Drew today. And look who is back
after
a week or so, Cody Tapp.
Welcome back.
How you feeling?
Feeling okay, you know? All things considered.
Do we have to lift your water for you today? Are you okay?
No, I'm okay. Although, legally, Spec cannot make me lift anything over 10 pounds for the next 5 weeks.
Really?
They asked for any other accommodations, and boy, did I briefly consider sending in just absurd things to make Spec do for the next 5 weeks.
Hold the door for you?
Or like a nicer chair, whatever.
Well, that should have been a request.
Open every heavy door for me would have been funny. I considered it briefly for the sake of content, but I instead decided that this is a legally binding workplace document, so I should probably just, you know, fill it out accurately.
So you feel good, though? No, like, are you in any pain anymore?
No, it's more like soreness probably than anything else, I would say, at this stage. That's probably the bigger standard of what there is, but it's good to be back. Feels good
to be back. Nothing has happened since you've been gone, so.
Well, it sounds like the whole show went against me. Every listener of this show
thinks I
should have been back to work sooner.
Let me say this. I actually feel like I defended you in the last week. I feel like I said he's having abdominal surgery. I think I said that. Now, there was some funny moments from multiple people that did call into the show. There was also Bink, who did fill in for some of them. Did you hear any of the show while you were gone? You can be honest.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not hear the show while I was gone.
So this is Bink talking about you.
Cody Tapas Charmin.
Called you Charmin.
Charmin.
Uh-huh. He should be back, though. This is a big week. I get it. Bye week, you should have done it. You plan these things
You're
out.
Like, Cody, okay, the bye week.
In fairness, one, he probably couldn't get a schedule. I was gone last week, so.
But that was a good week to do it. You were out there swimming with dolphins.
It was the bye week. Even if he could have had surgery last week, he couldn't because I was already gone.
Yeah, he could have. It's a big week. I mean, one day, that's fine.
He thought you picked the wrong week.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we're just choosing which week I'm. That's what day they had available
for
surgery.
That's what I said.
You don't just get to choose whatever day you want.
Danon Hughes, even? You might be surprised.
Danon,
here's what he said when he learned that you were gone still for hernia surgery.
I look at the injury report. Isaiah Pacheco is the only one on the Chiefs that did not practice. And Cody is not in. We need everybody to be participating. We need everybody to suck it up.
Yep.
And be ready for this grind. These next 8 games are most important. We are in must-win mode. And Cody's taking a day off for surgery?
Yeah.
What the heck? What's this problem for?
Yeah, and wasn't then Church? He didn't take a shot at you. He said you were doing it in tribute to somebody. He thought that's why you were having hernia surgery.
To who?
That is a stirring tribute to Dwayne Bowe by dropping his ball.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, someone says, why was he gone that long? What a wimp. Soft. Okay, so first off, let me explain the length of time I was gone. I had hernia surgery in the middle part of my abdomen area.
Uh-huh.
The doctor said I could not go back to work for a week. Am I just supposed to ignore the doctor? Matter of fact, when I called to get all my paperwork signed yesterday so that I could be approved to return to work, the initial response from the doctor was, sometimes we make people wait 2 weeks. And I said, that's insane. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be gone for 2 weeks. And do I think I could have probably worked Monday? Yeah, probably. But they didn't want me back, and my wife would have killed me. I also like being married. And so had I come back earlier, that would have been a huge point of contention in my marriage. I can tell you, she very much was serious about my rest and recovery. And had I fought that thing, that would have been a whole other thing. And I'm not fighting that battle. Also, I don't know, you had surgery. Taking a week off doesn't seem that crazy to me. Even if it's minor by surgery standards.
Was it what we talked about before you went for surgery? A lot of people were texting in their experience with the hernia surgery. They said, look out for this, don't do that.
For the most part.
You texted us. We texted you the day after, right? Yeah, the morning after. And you're like, hey, procedure went great. We're like, awesome. And you told us, and I said, I'd let you tell the story. But you told us essentially that, and I can only picture how this went. And anybody listening to this show can imagine. You basically tried to leave before you were supposed to. And I can just imagine you standing up, screaming at the top of your lungs, saying, I'm good. Please explain what happened.
So, I'd like to apologize to the staff at the hospital, I think, for that one. This is part of the problem when you go into anesthesia, is you don't have, like, full faculty, right, over yourself. And it was very fuzzy at the time, and I didn't know why I was doing it. But, yeah, they were very critical of my... I came out of the anesthesia and was out of my bed, taking my stuff with me, what? Saying I was getting out. And they were trying to get me back into bed. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm not staying any longer.
Please tell me they had to, like, and restrain so you. Please
not,
tell me.
That would
be great. That'd
me.
Be great.
It fell one short of that. I eventually settled down and then was a model patient, I like to think, after that. I also, yesterday, so, like, I felt really bad about being gone during the Chiefs week in which they lost to the Broncos.
Yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault.
And so,
yeah.
And so I thought, even though they've never required this, I thought I'd work on a song for the Chiefs Broncos game. I emailed my doctor the song I wanted to do, asked if it was a good or safe idea, and they told me no.
What?
Doctor approved, said, not a good idea. Well, like, I shouldn't be singing at that volume consistently, at least for like another week.
Wait, so are they saying, hold on, this is quite the development. Hold on, this is great.
Not doctor approved.
So now in the future, when you try to sing, a doctor has told you not to sing. Perfect.
Just,
doctor's orders.
Just for this week.
Just for this week? Or are they saying you shouldn't sing at that octave ever again?
No. They're
ever
just,
again. It's what caused your hernia to begin with, actually.
No. They're just saying, like, take it easy for a minute, you know? It's not doctor approved yet.
A lot of people. So you're good, and then recovery was fine. You know, did you, let me just put it this way. Did you, were you able to have normally bodily functions without
honestly,
being miserable?
I took care of that right away.
Okay.
The suggestion of the text line, right? Just
perfect.
You know, immediately take medication in order to assist yourself there.
Okay.
I didn't even get through all the legally prescribed oxy or whatever.
I'm sure you responsibly got rid of those, right?
Oh, disposed of?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they're just in the closet for now.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saving them for? I'm not saving them for
Well, then why don't
day.
You just throw them away, Cody?
Well, fine, I'll throw them away.
Well, just, you know, properly dispose them, you know?
Probably get rid of them?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys? Oh, wait, I can't offer them to you, right? That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Anybody in any kind of pain? But so.
Jeez.
Somebody says, Cody, marriage is overrated. Just ask Bink.
Uh-huh.
Doctor must be a listener. Just didn't want to hear the song.
I don't know who this doctor is, but I like the doctor already. The fact that the doctor said no singing for a period of time. I need to get him to have I want an official doctor's note saying you can't sing for 6 months.
God, like just official from, that's HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be asking.
Someone
for
says,
things.
How does it feel, Cody, to not have one of the boys still? Well, he didn't have that hernia surgery.
Well, and also, like, hernia is not.
There's different types, right? There's different types.
Well, a hernia is not a foreign object in your body. It's not like a cyst. It is like my stomach lining was pushing out through my skin in a break in the muscle wall. So they don't take anything out. They actually just put a piece of mesh in to keep everything in. So, like, you know, you just have abdominal surgery. And someone says, like, I don't think you realize how much you use your core, even if you're in terrible shape. Agreed. You don't realize that until you're in there. But I'm glad to be back. Mm. No singing for at least a week.
Whew, thank goodness.
I'll try not to yell too much on the show.
Yeah, be careful.
But
man.
I am.
Be careful.
Yeah. I am. Although yelling at that game on Sunday would have been very easy. I mean, genuinely, and there have been several frustrating games this year. One of the most frustrating things to see is at the end of the game, when you have Patrick Mahomes to go back-to-back drives of absolute utter nonsense and either play calling or effort or anything else, and then driving yourself into this range where, like, you're just kind of stuck in nothingness, and then letting Bo Nix carve you up on 3rd and 15.
Yeah, I was curious what you made. Obviously, Monday's show was not a fun one, and the temperature has cooled a little bit here on a Wednesday, but I was interested to see what you make of just the situation they're in, which is right now, you and I were talking before the show, would you be more surprised if they missed the playoffs or they made the AFC title game? I know they have made the AFC title game throughout Mahomes' entire career, but would you be more surprised that they make that or that they miss the playoffs? Knowing where they sit, 5-5, I've said earlier in the week, and I don't know if you agree, and I think it's just kind of obvious at this point in time, which is I think they have to go 6-1 the rest of the way to get in the dance.
I mean, 5-2 is the minimum, but that feels like it probably wouldn't get it done, if we're being honest. Just knowing what we know about where the playoff tiebreakers go, this is where, like, it's really difficult because I've seen the Chiefs, and I could go through the numbers, and we all could, where the Chiefs have had stretches during seasons in which things looked bleak. I will admit, this is certainly the bleakest it's ever looked from a missed playoff perspective. So obviously not a good situation there. But at the same time, I can't just count out a Patrick Mahomes-led team, even if he doesn't look the same. So if you told me right now, I'd still be more surprised they missed the playoffs than made the AFC title game. So, because if they make the playoffs, things, and this is what's hard about it, if they make the playoffs, things have gone right. They have started to win games, they have resolved some of their problems, and then it's the same thing we talked about weeks ago, which is, okay, they got to go to Indianapolis or to New England or to these unproven teams in the early phases of winning. And that doesn't seem impossible to me to think the Chiefs could overcome that.
Right. And I know, like, if you look at 10 games in and you see they have 5 wins, naturally, I think people will say, well, they won 5 games in 10. Why should I think they're going to win 6 in the final 7? I understand that. I would just say that's not how sports always works. And we went through the numbers yesterday and we're talking about 1 or 2 plays a game, the one score game stuff. I think we all can pinpoint 1 or 2 plays in each one of these losses in particular, whether it was the pick 6 in Jacksonville, whether it was the Herbert 3rd and 14 run or whatever it was, whether it was, you know, of course, this past game against Denver. There was actually more than just 1 or 2. There was the Mahomes interception for starters. But
yeah, another red zone interception. Yeah. Too.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
the frustrating ones have the ones where you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, every game in which he's had a red zone turnover, they've lost. I mean, it's no secret, right? Like that would happen with any quarterback.
Yeah, most.
He has not been as good, plain and simple. We're going to talk about the offense and its team on the road versus at home in a second. But I would still be more surprised, Cody, if they miss the playoffs. And I know that might sound crazy, but part of the logic is it's all about Sunday for me. It really is. And we'll have an Indianapolis Colts guest on later on in the week to talk about them. They're coming off a bye week. It is going to be a tough, tough challenge, as every game is right now when you're 5-5. This game on Sunday, last week was the biggest regular season game of the Mahomes era.
Mm-hmm.
This one's even bigger. This one's even bigger because now it is, to me, the playoffs or not. And so it's a play-out game, not a play-in. They're not in the playoffs if they win, but it's a game where, to me, they play themselves out. If they lose on Sunday to the Colts, then it's over because I don't believe they're going to go from losing 3 in a row to then winning 6 in a row. I don't think that's happening. On the flip side, you beat a very good Colts team. You're feeling good about yourself. And then you'd say, I got a game of wiggle room left still. And can I win? You know,
and
at that
the
point,
rest of the game, this is by far the hardest.
5 of the final 6, knowing that it's the Cowboys, it's the Titans, it's the Texans, it's the Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, that I can talk myself into. So it's all about Sunday. And that's why I said on Monday, I don't think it's over yet for them. Now, if they lose on Sunday, I can promise you, if they lose on Sunday, I will come in on Monday 100% and I'll tell you the season is over. They're not making the playoffs. But if they win on Sunday, I will feel better. Absolutely. And I think it is all about the Colts if you think they're going 6-1. That's it.
I think a lot of this is, and like, this is probably why I have a hard time, is that I watch the Chiefs, including this game on Sunday, and I don't think that they're fundamentally broken as a team this year, as in there's no redeemable qualities, they don't do anything well, and we pointed out some of the advanced metrics that like them, as in the percentage of drives in which they score points, the points per games allowed, the points per game scored, they're top 10. In both of those categories still, and I think it was Jesse New who had put out the article, they are also inexplicably, considering where they've been and who they've been as a team, the least clutch team I've seen ever.
Every big play they got to have, they haven't made this year.
Offense or defense. It's not even like one side of the ball. And be like, all right, the Chiefs got the, like, they were up three late in the third quarter. It's like, they got the ball back. They forced a three and out against Denver. It's like, go down here. It was like the fourth quarter, late third. Go down here, score a touchdown in this stupid game, and then it's just over. And you can just walk yourself to victory on the road against a good Denver Broncos squad. Problem solved, everybody. And they had nothing going offensively. And that, and like, their imbalance to me are things that are solvable. A 3-to-1 run pass ratio is solvable. And some of this is the RPO stuff and these other issues that like, I'm sure you guys have talked about.
For sure. So this is, look, as I said on Monday, anybody that wants to text in and say that the season's over, I get it. Like, I totally get
it. Yeah, I don't think you're crazy.
And it's not a crazy take, and you might be completely correct after Sunday. So it's not like this is one of those where I get both arguments for it either being over or not. But what I guess what I would respond to on this text, and you guys can always chime in, 9135867979765. I don't know why I had a hard time today with that. Someone said, what tells you that they're going to beat the Colts? The Colts are 10 times better than us. No, they're not.
Like, they're not 10 times better.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Times better.
They are better right now.
They have a running back. They said that's the best in the league that we passed up on. The quarterback doesn't even have to play decent to beat us. Our defense sucks. So I just disagree with a lot of what was said there. Like, as much as we've discussed how they're not making the crucial plays, I don't think the defense sucks. Like, in fact, the numbers say they don't suck. I don't think this team sucks. They're 5-5. They don't suck. They're very average. They're very average, and they cannot play average football on Sunday and beat the Colts. Like, we would agree there.
Yes.
But I think this, like, that text, and I'm guilty of this as well, that's a very spoiled text. That when your team is 5-5, all of a sudden we act like they're, it's kind of, we kind of went through this with the Royals earlier in the year at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, the Royals had a disappointing season. They didn't suck this year. The Chiefs are 5-5 and they missed the playoffs and they end up with 9 wins. It means
they're,
it was a drastically underachieving season. It doesn't mean the team sucks. Like, you know what sucks? A team that has 2 wins, a team that has 3 wins, a team that's going to pick in the top 5 of the draft, top 10. That's like our version. I know the bar has been raised. A 9-win team is not a team that sucks. It sucks if they end up with 9 wins. I'll give you that. I think we've all watched the NFL enough. And the Chiefs were favorites, in fairness, last week against Denver, and they lost outright. The Chiefs are favorites against the Colts on Sunday. Again, by the way, 3.5 points. I think the fact that the game is at Arrowhead, the fact that literally it is the season on Sunday, like, there are moments like that in the NFL all the time where it seems so simple that the Colts should win this game. But that's not how the NFL typically works. The same reason why most people thought the Chiefs were going to go right into Denver and beat the Broncos, because, oh, like, they're not going to lose this game. Like, it works both ways. Last week, nobody thought the Chiefs were losing, like, nationally even. And they lost. This week, now it's like, oh, there's no way they're going to beat the Colts. They're going to win. The Chiefs are going to win on Sunday.
And I certainly don't rule it out. And again, it's not that I'm saying, to this point, the Colts have definitely been a better team than the Chiefs. But you aren't typically a top 10 offensive points per game team and defensive points per game team and are ass. They are. And this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around with this team. Whether it be play calling, Patrick Mahomes' play in these moments, because again, his play in those moments has been certainly part of the issue. The defensive plays in those moments, or like giving up the 3rd and 15 is easily the most frustrating play of the game for me. You the game wasn't over. Yeah, you would messed it up 2 times in a row on offense, and all you had to do was get off the field on 3rd and 15, and you were still fine. As in, you had every chance. The point differential, the only teams who have a better point differential in the NFL or on the AFC so far this year are the Indianapolis Colts, the team you face this weekend, and the New England Patriots. They have a better point differential than the Bills,
yeah,
than the Broncos, than some of these teams. They are not a broken team. but there is something broken about it. And to me, it is about those final four to maybe 8 minutes, maybe up to there of the game, that I can't understand for a team that has been to three straight Super Bowls, for a team that has been to five of the last six Super Bowls, that is one of the most clutch, almost impossible to beat playoff teams, that has been in the AFC title game just year after year after year. It doesn't make sense, honestly, and I don't have a great answer for you. Why are they bad in those moments? Why do they stink so bad in those moments? It's a really difficult thing to parse down, which is why I'm with you in the sense that, like, the season's not over. Oh, yeah, but, like, I'm not saying it's not on.
No, they have to win Sunday. Yeah. You know, they have to win Sunday. Otherwise, it's completely over at that point.
Yes.
I think, you know, as we were talking Monday and Tuesday of the week, Cody, about the reasons why they're not winning in the biggest moments. You know, some of it is a little bit of just regression, plain and simple, after winning 12 one-score games a year ago, now 0-5. But a lot of it is, like, Mahomes in the fourth quarter, when the game's tied, he has just simply not been as good. You know, whether it's a lack of trust in anybody other than Travis Kelce, we're going to talk about that, I know, at 11 o'clock, and him being the primary, really, guy in this offense suddenly again, and why that's a problem at this point in time. So he hasn't been as good. I think the play calling has also not worked. And this is not just, like, anybody saying play calling sucks when it doesn't work. I'm saying, like, the play calling, you have to adapt as we look at how they're currently playing and how your quarterback is playing. Yes, historically, everybody agrees. Like, Patrick Mahomes, I want the ball in his hands in the biggest moments. But also, in a given week, in a given situation, like last week, the best path may have been to simply hand the ball off another time or two to Kareem Hunt on third down, on those three and out drives. That's all it is. Look, we're going to get into this more with Ross Tucker coming up in 10 minutes, by the way. We'll get a national perspective, our Odyssey NFL insider. But you and I were trying to figure out, it felt this way, but do the numbers even back it up? Is the offense of Mahomes way different on the road, or is it the defense that's different? And let me point out the opponents, because there's no question it matters. Like, at home, the Chiefs have played the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, Commanders, Raiders. So Commanders and Raiders flat out stink. We all agree. At home, the Chiefs are averaging 28.8 points per game. They're allowing 14.3. On the road, now those are games, if we include the neutral site, against the Chargers, Giants, Jags, Bills, Broncos. So out of that group, we're talking about four playoff teams versus the other grouping, which was Eagles, Ravens, Lions, three playoff teams. Not a huge difference, but certainly the two teams, Commanders and Raiders, are absolutely abysmal. And the Chiefs were scoring 23.7, I'm sorry, points per game. They were giving up, though, 22.3. So as much as it feels like, well, the offense is just way better. The offense is way better at home than on the road.
It's definitely better at home, but not significantly.
The defense on the road is giving up over 8 points per game more.
Wonder, so, like, obviously the schedule could be.
That's the Bills and Broncos, of course, are part of that equation.
So schedule could always play a factor. That and Chargers too, right? It's not like the Chargers have an awful offense. And at that time, they were still a relatively healthy offense. Versus they had Amari and Hampton and some other pieces at play that certainly helped them there. But it's like, why are they so much worse on defense on the road? Like, giving up 31 to the Jags on the road.
Yeah.
That, like, what? That one still defies some logic.
Mahomes, individually, including the road and the neutral site, Mahomes, 1,326 passing yards on the road, four touchdowns, three picks, sacked 10 times. That's, of course, not all on him, but still, sacked 10 times. At home, 1,299 yards passing, 14 touchdowns, three picks.
Well, those touchdown numbers are not insignificant.
That's the difference. Now, a big chunk of those came against the Ravens in a blowout win, 37-20. The Ravens at the time were not a playoff team. Here's what's tricky about numbers. We could all skew them to make our point. Like,
making mistakes on the road.
Making mistakes on the road in particular. He's pressing more on the road. And yeah, we all acknowledge the opponents are different. But if you're going to say, well, the home stats don't count because of that, like, well, basically, you don't like that the numbers don't favor your opinion, so you want me to eliminate the Commanders and the Raiders game.
No, like, we've got five games. This is actually a great time to do it.
Yeah.
10 games into the season.
It's even. Five
games on either side. So, like, yards per game, all that stuff, they all line up perfectly. He has thrown 10 less touchdowns on the road. That is not. And one of those, you said, was an ass-kicking. And so, like, the idea that even with that, he's not getting the ball in the end zone. There's some part of the silent count's been getting to him, or their road. I don't know why the road is bothering him. I don't have, like, a good answer for that.
I mean, as an offense,
I think it's fairly
obvious
they're not playing nearly as well on the road as they are at home.
Well, some of it, again, there's blame for everybody, but Jawan Taylor, him who the last two games has stepped back into the illegal formation holding problems. The games where he was having his best three or four game stretch happened to coincide, I don't think it's a complete coincidence, at home when they were playing Detroit, Vegas, and the Commanders. You know, those were some of his three best games as the Chief, period.
Yep.
And the offense had three of their best games of the season. some of it's opponent. Some of it was they just weren't making mistakes either. Like they all of the above can be true when we discuss
this. 10 penalties at halftime in that game on Sunday. Because that's the other, like, I don't know if it's just, because there is, and there always has been, in all of sport and all of history, Gold, favorable officiating for the home team. That's just, it's not like a huge advantage, but you know this even from a sports betting thing or from fouls from watching team at Allen Fieldhouse versus there's always been a slight favoritism to penalties to the home team versus the road team. Every flag was being thrown for every single play in the beginning part of that Broncos game. And they looked sloppy and messy. And honestly, more than any of the things we talked about this team, that was the thing that was the most concerning to me. You had a bye week, a divisional opponent, somebody you knew, and you kept stepping on your own foot.
Oh, that's
and that's
why
what's continued to happen on the road. It's the mistakes.
Yeah.
It's not the plan. It's just the mistakes, constant mistakes.
Yeah, that was the very thing Monday to start the show we were discussing. And that's why normally I'm not big on blaming losses strictly on coaching, because I'm like, look, coaching, it's one of those things when everything looks great, it's, you know, it's basically how we dictate that. I thought for the first time in the Mahomes era, I could pinpoint specifically that all three coaches, Tobe, Andy, Spags, all three of them, I thought had some of their worst games coaching, period. And when we're discussing, if we think that in the biggest moments, they're not executing, Mahomes just gets that blame, but a lot of that is coaching. Like, if we agree, we look at this roster and it's a 5-5 team and we look at the roster and we say, they're not a five, they have no business being 5-5 with the roster that they have.
Nope.
Well, then what is it? It's coaching. Like, that's, I mean, I don't think it's all that complicated. We'll ask Ross Tucker about this. He's going to join us next. Our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll ask him about the Colts. He's called multiple Colts games this year, so I want to get a little bit of a scouting report on what he's seeing, what the Chiefs are going to have to do Sunday.
This is Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, right here on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold. Good to have most of the show fully back. Cody's back from his hernia
surgery. We'll be back to
surgery.
Full strength at some point.
Drew, hopefully back Friday, if not, maybe on Monday. We got James producing the show today. Let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. The most unique spot I think the Chiefs have been in since we've had you come on this show over the last, I guess it's been like 40 years maybe at this point in time, Ross, where there's a real, real chance this football team misses the postseason.
Yeah, I guess. I'm still not there.
Neither am I. Neither am I.
I've gone on a couple shows the last couple days, and they've said, is this the end of this run for the Chiefs? Is this the end of the era? And I made it very clear, no one will find me on any video camera or any audio of me saying that. As long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback for the Chiefs, I believe that their reign, their Super Bowl window, is wide open. They are losing their fair share. They're losing more than their fair share of close games after winning more than their fair share last year. I think the truth and where they really are probably lies somewhere in the middle. And I think that'll start to correct itself probably as early as Sunday.
When you look at this team, it felt like nationally everybody was ready to just be like, ding dong, the witch is dead. And like praying for something that maybe doesn't come true. Now look, they've got problems, Ross, but what I can't figure out is statistically, things actually look like this team should be winning more than they do, but they are awful in the final 4 to 8 minutes of a football game. Can you explain why a team with this experience would struggle in that spot? It would actually make more sense to me to struggle in different areas, but they're bad at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, I have no explanation whatsoever. I mean, honestly, you know, when they won the 15 straight one-score games, I thought certainly, look, if you say the baseline, an average team should win half those games. I think it's fair for a team with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and Andy Reid as your head coach to win more than 50%, right? I don't know what that number is.
65, 70, 80, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. They also, shouldn't be 0-5 this year, though. And it's just stunning because you know that some of the regression was going to come, but I don't know that I thought it would be 15 straight wins in a row, followed by 5 straight losses in a row in those one-score games. And it's especially surprising because still, I don't know about you guys, but still, every single time the Chiefs are in that situation, my gut, my brain fully expects them to make the plays necessary to win the game. And it's still jarring and surprising when they don't.
Yeah, 100%. As we're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Can you pinpoint anything, though, just not necessarily the final drive type of stuff that Cody was asking about, but just, is it Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter isn't as sharp to you? Is it that the play calling has gotten predictable? Because that's been a theme this week, and certainly on this show and others in the city, that when you're losing as many close games as they are, and some of these issues, are teams just figuring them out more? Like, the Chris Jones acknowledged that the Broncos kind of knew what was coming with some of their defensive looks. You know, late in the game, Andy Reid, you know, on two, three and out drives, didn't run the ball a single time. Do you think they become predictable?
I won't say predictable. I will say that, you know, when you've had guys doing it as long as Andy and Spags, that they've got some pretty strong tendencies built up over the years. But I don't know, guys. I mean, was that any different last year? You know, they still had a significant body of work last year and the year before, and nobody was saying these things. So the idea that all of a sudden, you know, those guys forgot how to coach, or, you know, now they aren't able to figure things out, I don't really buy that. I do think both offensively and defensively, they have some things they like to do when it comes to winning time, and people probably have a pretty good feel
right
for what those things are. But, I mean, I don't know that they were really doing anything different last year when they won all of it.
I'm really impressed as you're talking. Text line is wondering, I have to ask the question before we continue. Are you working out while talking to us? This is impressive.
How can you guys hear that? You can hear that?
We think you're on a, people think you're on a Stairmaster or something.
No, I can get off.
No, it's fine.
I'm on a treadmill. Well, I guess now that you know about it, I can go down a little bit. I'm on a treadmill because, you know, I've learned, it's like, I read somewhere that not to look at exercise as the solution or the answer, but to look at sitting around as the problem. And so it's a little bit too cold here to be outside. I usually like to go for a walk outside, but if I'm going to be talking with you guys in 15 minutes, rather than just sitting there, I'd rather, you know, get some steps in, I guess.
No,
but if you guys can hear it,
no, but
it's distracting, then maybe I shouldn't do it.
No. I'm impressed. I mean, you put it this way, I would not be able to complete sentences if I was trying to do an interview. I would never even dare try to do what you're doing. So it's not that noticeable.
You know, the real problem is, I was like super setting lifts, like shoulders, biceps, triceps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Right before you guys called, now I'm on my treadmill, but because I was lifting, my heart rate decently high. Like,
right, well, now, you, now you're bragging, Ross. All right, yeah. now you're bragging. Okay, thank you. You know, we
I got to keep working out so I can look like you guys next time I see you.
But before we ask you about the Colts, since we're already on the medical stuff, what do you think a standard amount of time a radio host should miss for hernia surgery?
Ooh, that's a really good question, actually, because I've had that surgery.
Oh.
I had a sports hernia surgery after my senior year. What day of the week are you getting the surgery done?
Tuesday.
I think that you should be back by the next Monday at the latest.
Oh, so you were one day too long, Cody.
Ah, too long.
He had surgery.
I already had the surgery.
He had it last Tuesday, and he's just getting back today.
Yeah, I would say, you know what's crazy? I remember I had that surgery done at Rutgers. I went to Princeton, and we drove back to my house in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, afterwards. That was painful because the medicine wore off from the surgery. And then if my dad, like, went over a bump on the turnpike, like, that was hard. I don't recommend a two-hour drive after that surgery, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's brutal. Ross Tucker joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You've called a couple Colts games, if I'm not mistaken. I think maybe a Colts-Titans game, maybe another one or two. What are the Chiefs dealing with here on Sunday as the Colts come off a bye and head to Arrowhead?
Yeah, so I did one Colts game, but obviously in preparation for that game, I watched them a bunch. They are really, really good, especially on offense. Interestingly, the last couple games they played, they haven't looked as good. You know, the offensive tackles have been getting beat. Daniel Jones has been turning it over because prior to these last two games, and they lost the Steelers and they won the other one, but prior to these last two games, they were like a machine. I mean, they looked almost like prime Chiefs. You know, they have arguably the best running back in the NFL. They have a quarterback playing like a top five guy. Offensive line, I thought, until these last couple games, is probably the best in the league. Their tight end, the top five tight end in the league already. And they have a really nice receiving core. I mean, Alec Pierce has been outstanding. Pittman, Downs, they're very impressive. I don't think that they're that great defensively. And I think they lost their best defensive player in DeForest Buckner, which is a huge, huge loss for them and something that the Chiefs absolutely have to take advantage of.
How much do you think, I think earlier today, the Colts designated Charvarius Ward to return? I don't know if that means he will play on Sunday, but how much do they miss him being gone with the concussion?
Well, you know, it was very clear for the game I did that he was their best corner and he was the corner they liked the most. So that's significant. And then since then, they've obviously traded for Sauce Gardner. So if they had Ward and Sauce out there at the same time, that's obviously the combo they want and feel good about. Because I don't think that they are a dominant front seven team. So they really need the coverage guys to really play at a high level.
Ross, I want to ask you about the Chiefs one more thing. We were talking about them offensively. The big conversation, seemingly locally, is they should just run the ball under center. Can you explain from like a, you're in the middle of an NFL season, you understand that under the center runs work, they like the RPOs more, and those statistically, yards per play-wise, do work. It, can they just shift to that? Should they just shift to that? Should they be a team who just calls a running play and doesn't give Mahomes the option anymore? Because Andy in postgame had said there are plays in which it could be run pass and Mahomes is just choosing pass a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I know some coaches that feel like if you call an RPO and the quarterback throws the ball, that those yards should count as rushing yards because it was more or less a called run. You didn't get to look to run the ball, so you're doing a quick pass, and that those should count as rushing yards. I honestly can make an argument both ways. You don't want to be running your head into a wall. You don't want to just call a play and run it if it's a bad look. I don't think as a matter of principle that that's a very good idea. The flip side of that is with all these RPOs in the gun, there really aren't that many runs off of it. There's not a big menu of runs. And so the defense can really key in on what those runs are. And there is something to be said for a volume of runs. And so if you're not just calling a run and going with it, or you can call two runs. You know, you can call a run to the right, run to the left, and run it to the more favorable look. But if you're doing RPOs, and every time you're in RPO, you throw it, then you're not getting the volume of runs that the coaches really covet for a lot of reasons.
Yesterday on the show, you were discussing that the current playoff field, the 14-team field, would not have the Chiefs, the Lions, or the Ravens in it. Do you think all three are actually missing? Or do you think all three still get in?
I think all three still get in, but the odds would tell you that one of them's probably going to miss it. You know, I mean, I don't know which team that would be. I'd have to look at it again. I don't think it's the Ravens, because I think the Ravens will win that division.
Agree.
It would be the Lions or the Chiefs. I think there's probably a pretty good chance that one of them misses it, just because of where they are right now. But kind of like I said to those other shows, I'm not the one saying that. I'm still picking them to go.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to end up winning the North. I still don't believe that Chicago ends up winning the NFC North. I think the Lions still do. And then really, that means I think the Chiefs would be the least likely of the bunch to make it. Doesn't mean they won't, but I think, and I haven't looked at the exact betting market, I believe they also have the worst odds to make it of those three. But I understand why you don't want to, you know, why you don't want to put them down yet as the Chiefs get set to take on the Colts Sunday. Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll check in next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Thank you. There you go. Ross Tucker. I'll be honest. Like, you could tell he was working out, but I would have been way more out of breath during trying to do an interview while that.
I've done it like people, in the car or like, you know, these spots, but like, I working out. Someone's like, is he working out? I was like, no.
When he first started talking, I was like, he sounds out of breath a little bit.
Maybe just went up some stairs, you know?
And they're like, no, I think he's on a treadmill or something.
good listening,
good
by
for
the
him.
Way.
Good for him.
Yeah, kudos, at least on that end. I do wonder, the under center run stuff, part of it is you don't get to blame the quarterback if you know that, because it's your job to call something that you know is going a certain way. So if you want more runs, call more straight runs. I'm sorry. It's pretty simple. Shocker, a quarterback, given the option between running and passing, might prefer passing the football, especially one as prolific as the guy who you have under center. And so, like, if you want more runs, I'll just be honest with you. If you're Andy Reid, if you're Nagy, you're any part of this offensive staff, there's a pretty simple solution to that. It is call more straight runs. The problem is, and I looked it up, the yards per play on both the run and the pass in the RPOs is actually pretty good. They are successful at doing it. So that's not actually the problem. I feel like we're nitpicking little things that we think are the big problems. And those are like small results of the mistake-prone nature of the team versus the actual issues at play.
Said it earlier in the week. They don't need to reinvent the entire offense. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. I my whole thing has been when it comes to the running the ball thing. And that is not the number one issue with this football team is not that they're not running enough. That is not what I'm saying. But I think you can acknowledge that you like the RPO game. It's been successful. And again, on the 3rd-and-2, if Patrick Mahomes makes a better throw or sees Breshard Smith quicker, and that wasn't even an RPO, by the way, on the 3rd-and-2. On that 3rd-and-2, then we might be having a completely different conversation today anyway. That was on Patrick Mahomes. The play design was fine. Breshard Smith was there. So that was on Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying that when you have 2 3-and-out drives and you don't run it a single time in a game that is low scoring, it was 19-19 at that point in time, right? When you had the lead actually at one point, the second time it was 19-19, you actually had the lead the prior drive. When you're in a close game, defensive type of battle, when you're still struggling to really score against one of the top defenses, I know you want to win by passing the football. Nobody says you have to win that exact same way the next week against the Colts, but in that moment, you have to be willing to maybe win in a different way and win ugly. And that's my whole complaint has been like, they want to win their way. And that was something Nate Taylor was talking about with us yesterday as well. That's been my whole thing. Not that they suddenly need to be, running the ball 30% more than they do. No, in those specific spots, be willing to, when truly there's 4 minutes left in the game, just be willing to win. I think you're right. Win ugly. If that's what we want to call it, that's fine. So appreciate Ross Tucker, by the way, for joining us as he does each and every Wednesday. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we will talk about the offense. And what does it say that the best offensive weapon still seems like it's Travis Kelce? Yeah, he was awesome the other day. But in an offense that's fully healthy and everything, what does it say? So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Briefly, I do want to talk college basketball. Last night, Kansas took on Duke. It was a top 25 matchup, Champions Classic. We discussed this going in yesterday.
Without
Darren Peterson, I had no belief that they were winning that basketball game. All right, they were 12.5 point underdogs at close going in. They cannot score enough. Now, let me tell you this. I still think they struggle to score without him. In an odd way, you tell me, because people think I'm being a KU homer, maybe. You tell me if I'm way off. I am way more encouraged about them after last night, knowing that if it's true, Bill Self said to Matt Norlander that they think by the time they get to the Players Era Invitational next week, that Darren Peterson could be back from this hamstring injury. If that's true, then last night was actually very encouraging against a Duke team that's one of the best teams, a top five team in the country, that you didn't have Darren Peterson, who's one of the best players in the country, and you actually showed some fight and some effort. I never thought they were winning the basketball game.
At the end of 4 minute timeout, it was a 5 point game.
They were down three with five minutes to go. And then they just didn't have, they don't have enough scoring without Darren Peterson. That is true. Without Darren Peterson, they got no chance to go anywhere. I'm just saying, if you tell me Darren Peterson's plugged in and then I see what a couple, Trey White and some other pieces were able to do last night. All right. I can see how this could be a pretty darn good team.
Both losses. So take that for what it will. I was more impressed with this loss than the North Carolina.
Oh, well, yeah, North Carolina was terrible.
And so they played against North Carolina. I'm like, uh-oh, do they have any talent around Darren Peterson? Or is this why they were ranked in the 20s before the season started? Because they have Darren Peterson and a bunch of Jags, and they're going to run into a lot of problems this year unless he just takes over an entire basketball game. This one was encouraging because they did not have their best player. And when I thought toe-to-toe, and ran up and down the court and played some good basketball against Duke. And so I was encouraged. Now, I will say, they got to find a way. And this is always the thing for Self teams. They've got to find better guard play. And that has been single-handedly their biggest issue these last... Like, Melvin Council was just putting up prayers.
Actually, I thought Council was much better in the second half. First half, you couldn't make a basket.
No, he was like 1-8 or whatever the hell it was in the first half of the game.
I'm just saying.
So, like, you can't have a volume guy like that unless you're going to be a significantly better scorer. I thought they were really good in transition. I thought they were really good in the. I was encouraged.
Yeah, Badunga looked great.
I don't think it's a Kansas homer thing. I was encouraged by the loss to Duke.
Badunga looked great. The key is pretty clearly. He gets in foul trouble. He had 2 fouls in the first half. They had to pull him in that spot. And then late in the game, even though he was in foul trouble, they left him on the floor, I think, with 4 fouls with 7 minutes to go. They had to, right? That was their only chance to stay competitive. I obviously want to see what they look like with Darren Peterson. I'm just saying, without him, I thought they put up a pretty good fight against one of the best teams in the country in Duke, or who we think will end up being one of the best teams in the country.
I didn't take it as a negative. Yeah. I'm very similar in that regard for when I watched them last night, I watched a team that I was like, you know what? Better than I thought. The biggest mistake they made was letting Duke go on that run right before half.
Yeah, that was killer. The fouls. They did 5 fouls in like 7 straight possessions, it felt like.
Yeah, and that was the time when Council was just putting up 3 after 3 after 3 rather than trying to run any kind of offensive set. And so they fell apart at the end of the first half and then were never able to have enough time to recover from it. That's pretty much the story of last night's game between these two. But yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, was I impressed that they were able to keep it close with Duke despite the fact they were without their, you know, star player? I mean, and this isn't one of those Kansas teams where your best player is 90% of the previous one. He is their best player by a mile.
Nice. He might be the number one overall pick in the draft.
He is their best player by a mile. I've seen Kansas teams where Perry Ellis is their best player and their next best player is 90% of what they are and they're balanced. No, they're missing their best guy. Talk to me, Kansas. I feel like I want to see this team in like early January and then you'll kind of know whether or not it's another disappointing Kansas year where they're going to be a 5 seed again.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to crawl their way back into one of the 8 best teams, 10 best teams in the country.
Look, as much as I want to see Darren Peterson next week, and they got games coming up also, get, you know, UConn and Mizzou and everything, it's all about getting the hamstring right because, as you said, this team not going really anywhere without him in January and February and March through conference play and ultimately the NCAA tournament. So as much as you don't want him to miss weeks and then you start to wonder about his decision-making and everything like that, they just got to make sure they don't rush this injury. And I think that's the approach they took. Like, yeah, with him last night, they might win that game. I don't think you can guarantee they would have won.
But I
think they would have had a great chance to win the game with him.
I agree.
So, you know, UConn on deck coming up here in a week or so, I think, a couple weeks. So we'll see how it plays out.
They need him in tournament time, in conference play, to try to win the Big 12. They need Darren Peterson. Like, I don't blame. There was a report, that he wants to play, and the Bills self is telling him no. Good. That's almost always how it should be in a we play 30 basketball games this year. we have to have you. And it's the kind of injury that could be bad in a millisecond. Like, and so they got to be careful in that regard.
You can't count on much these days, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with Week 12 matchup between the Colts and Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, let's talk about the best offensive weapon right now. Is it still Travis Kelce? What does that say about the offense? And a trade that happened in baseball last night, a bit surprising, but it also featured a name in which the Royals have clearly targeted over the last year or so. We'll tell you what it means for the offseason next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.